And now, a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the Word from South Highland.
Well, this is a great day in the life of South Highland Presbyterian Church and in the life of the Church Universal. Today is our 134th anniversary as a congregation that started on a rainy All Hallows Eve in 1888. And then they built that little church right away. Today is also Reformation Sunday, as we remember our Protestant heritage, the bold acts of a minor son and humble monk named Martin Luther. And not only him, but many before and after him. Savonarola, Huss, Wycliffe, Waldo, Calvin, Knox, Wesley, Witherspoon, and others who called the church back to its substance out of Holy Scripture and away from centuries of cultural accretions. And some would look at this historically as the beginning of the modern age. Now, I say it's a day of great celebration for the whole church, not only the Protestant church, but the Church Catholic and Universal. The Reformation, you see, sparked renewal across the world of the church through what occurred in 1517 when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses objecting to church abuses on the door of the church of Wittenberg. It crystallized reform and renewal movements that had been going really for centuries and would continue. And then a few years later in 1521, when Martin Luther stood before the mightiest government on the face of the earth at that time, the Holy Roman Empire, who had put him on trial for heresy. Imagine, you're standing before the United Nations General Assembly, plus the United States Congress and Supreme Court, together with the European Parliament, and even whatever sorts of legislatures China and Russia have, all combined, declaring as did Martin Luther that day, unless I am convinced by the proofs from Scripture or by plain and clear reasons, I will not retract. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. Yes, this is a great day for Christ's community. The church here, churches around the block, churches around the world. Today, as we make our stewardship commitments, we look not only back in gratitude, but we look forward in hope. The root system is beneath us. The shoots are growing up above us to what God is going to do in and through South Highland for the next, Lord willing, 134 years. All this fall, we've been looking at the nine fruit of the Spirit, that sort of fruit salad of characteristics that are present in the lives of a Christ-committed, Spirit-yielded person and community. And it's not sort of a buffet where you just pick and choose what you'd like. All this fruit is available to all of us as we're open to the Lord. The day we take as our final fruit, on this Faith Emphasis Sunday, the fruit of faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness means sticking with it, whatever comes for the long haul, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, stormy seas and calm waters. We're called to remain faithful. Faithfulness on our part is grounded in the faithfulness of God, who is true to his promises. And God makes promises to us and then calls us to respond with faithfulness. As we heard from the Hebrews letter, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faithfulness means trusting even when the bottom drops out. As John Buchanan writes, this faith of ours is a radically worldly faith, a call to live in this world with faithfulness and courage and passion and great, great love. This faithfulness is something I saw radiating on the face of at least three to maybe 400 people who were standing wall to wall in the Presbyterian Church of Aleppo, Syria, a week ago. And outside on the front porch, a crowd who couldn't get in, standing, listening, participating. All of this on a Tuesday night to welcome our group of seven who were traveling with the Outreach Foundation throughout the churches of Syria. As their courageous pastor, Ibrahim Nasir, told us, their eyes are lit up because you have come. You see, this church, a product of American Presbyterian missionaries in the 1850s, had their historic church building bombed to the ground in 2012 by terrorists during the civil war in Syria. For several years, they met in members' homes. But churches like South Highland throughout the world partnered together and helped them build a brand new church building in a different part of town. And on Christmas Eve 2015, they held their first worship service there. We witnessed the vital, vibrant ministry of that congregation, about the same size of a congregation as South Highland. That congregation has experienced such rough winds and waves. And yet now, even with harsh circumstances continuing, they are offering vibrant, vital ministry. Not only are they worshiping in a new building, but they are operating a health clinic across the street, which is offering treatment on a monthly basis, get this, to 3,000 people, with mostly volunteer doctors coming, 30 of them. And they operate a boys' secondary school with 600 students, and a kindergarten and girls' primary and secondary school with 1,315 students. And on the footprint of that original bombed out church building, they're now constructing the Aleppo Christian Center, which will be a place for retreats, seminary classes, interfaith dialogue, and even more healthcare outreach. In Syria, we saw Jesus at work. Out on a rough, stormy sea late at night, the winds and waves against them battering their little boat, the disciples saw Jesus at work. Peter's eyes and the eyes of his fellow terrified disciples in the boat suddenly lit up because Jesus has come. They see him walking on the water. At first, they're terrified, but then assured, hearing his voice, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter cries out, "Lord, if it is you, bid me to come out to you on the water." Jesus calmly says, "Come." And then with bold, impetuous faith, Peter steps out into the water, his eyes on Jesus. And he's walking on the water, but then, noticing the waves lapping at his feet, he begins to look aside at the chaos that is around him, and he's terrified, and he begins to sink. "Lord, save me," he cries. And Jesus immediately reaches out his hand, and with the touch of faith, draws him up from the deeps and back into the boat, in which Jesus gets with him and stays with him with them throughout the rest of their journey until they reach land, which is what Jesus does with us as well, is it not? Jesus reaches us when we are sinking, and Jesus stays with us in the boat of faith, that is the church. And notice, as the disciples notice this, they cry out in worship, "Truly you are the Son of God." As Reverend Ibrahim Nasir told us of the ministry of that congregation in Aleppo, when we bought the additional building next door for the church to make space for children's Sunday school classes, we were told that we were crazy. We didn't have the money, but faith, he said, is not rational. Faith is crazy. Faith works with the unseen. I had a vision. The vision became a dream. The dream became reality. This important story of Jesus on the water, beating back the chaos, and of the boat in the calm with the disciples, with the church. This story comes in three of the four Gospels, immediately after Jesus feeding the 5,000 on the hillside. All the miracles demonstrate the power of Jesus, who appears as the ruling, reigning Lord. A man, yes, but more than a man, the Lord of heaven and earth, who commanded a few loaves and fish to feed a multitude of 5,000, and who got in the boat with a fearful church, and there is a great calm. Faith-filled people recognizing and worshiping the Lord of all creation. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. When Christ the Lord is present in the boat with us, all fear is cast aside, and we are assured anew that God is with us and that all shall be well. Cast fear aside, lean on thy guide, his boundless mercy will provide. Trust, and thy trusting soul shall prove Christ is its life and Christ its love. Peter has a strong faith, and yet it's a wavering faith. There's faith and there's doubt, and he wonders which will win out, Christ or chaos. But Christ shows him and shows us that even with a little faith focused upon him, even a little mustard seed of faith, the faith can grow and become a great nurturing tree to provide shelter and life for all. Tom Long describes this scene like this. The church is what it is because Jesus is who he is. Portrayed as Lord, walking magisterially over the sea, authoritatively ruling over the wild, fearsome, humanly untamed powers loose in the world as Savior, reaching out to deliver a frightened, failing disciple, and as Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, one who is worthy of worship and faithful confession. Like the demons, disease, and death, the raging sea is one of the unruly powers, but Jesus is Lord even over the sea. He is Lord over the powers of chaos and destruction that threaten the life of the church, the mission of God's people, and the victory of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' words, "It is I," echo words spoken to Moses by God out of the burning bush. The disciples at first, fearfully mistaking Jesus for a ghost, soon discover they're not at the mercy of the angry sea. They are in the mercy of their compassionate Savior. In our new officer training classes that are going on right now, a few weeks ago we were divided up into small groups and asked to reflect upon a time we felt God's presence in a particularly personal way. And Irv Stapleton, and he's given me permission to share this today, shared with us how before he married Penny, when his first wife was dying, he was fearful, panicking, distressed, overwhelmed. Suddenly, Irv said, "I felt this wave of God's peace wash over me. And from then on, I knew everything was going to be okay." What we see in this story of Jesus coming to the disciples in the storm, walking on the water, it's not a circus sideshow. It is a manifestation of the Lord of creation and redemption coming with victorious, sure, and certain hope that we can have through him. That he is with us as individuals and together as a church. We're not lonely, isolated soloists in all this. We're members of the family and part of the great cloud of witnesses. Those here now, those who have gone on ahead of us, and those who will come after us. Like Peter, we're told, do not fear. Do not worry when your faith fails you for a moment, when you look aside at the sloshing waves and the gusting winds, and you're terrified and you begin to sink. That's when, if you will turn back to him, look to him, cry out to him, "Lord, save me," Jesus will grab you and deliver you. That's when his church will be there for you to support you through whatever you're facing. This October, as Leland alluded earlier, we've heard testimony from many of you here in this church and over the internet how the church has been there for you in your hour of need. Our stewardship testimonies remind us that we're part of a great cloud of witnesses, those who sit around this sanctuary together and join us electronically, and those who have gone on ahead of us and are now cheering us on from the great stadium of heaven. You know them. Carolyn and Bob Hunter, Maxine and Keith Williams, Tom Rast, Betty Waters, John Benton, Jerry Vandergriff, Lil and Dewey White, Bill French, Helen Davis, Moulton and Hope Williams, Greta and Corky Clark. Now these are just a few of probably the more well-known to many of us, but so many, many more, many little-known or well-known, all are part of this great cloud of witnesses. See all around you the people of God, gathered to nourish, invited to love, never more aliens come from abroad, for there are no strangers in the household of God. Sometime, let me invite you, take a tour of this church. Walk through these buildings. Read these plaques on the walls of the sanctuary. Get your phone light and turn it on and read the names and the inscriptions on the end of many of these pews. Walk in the chapel. Look at the names in the windows and on the Sunday school doors. The great cloud of witnesses that have gone ahead of us, helping us to be Christ's presence in this place. We sit on the shoulders of giants. But you know what? Apart from us, they are not finished. None of them who were preceded us completed everything they intended. They prepared the way for us, and we prepare the way for those who come after us. All these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised by God, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. They needed us. As Reinhold Niebuhr wrote, "Nothing worth doing is completed in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing true or beautiful makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love." Today marks the 134th anniversary of our life together as a congregation. Today also marks the 21st anniversary since I first delivered my very first sermon in this great historic pulpit as your pastor in 2001, just after 9/11. Hard to believe, it's been my honor and privilege to serve as your pastor longer than any who came before. You're such a remarkable congregation. By God's grace, I hope to mark my 22nd anniversary here as your pastor this time next year. Then shortly thereafter, I've asked the session, and they have unanimously agreed, to convene early next year a congregational meeting requesting you to concur with my request to complete my service with you as of December 31st, 2023. Which will be near my 41st anniversary since being ordained as a minister of the gospel of word and sacrament in January 1982 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I know you all know this, in the Bible, 40 years is a generation. And some of you may ask, why now? And why with a little over a year's notice? Simply this, it feels to Gail and to me as though the time is right. South Highland is moving ahead strong as a congregation, making steady growth coming out of our COVID shutdown. We have an awesome staff in place. And because of the changes to our book of church order, a senior pastor search committee may now be elected early next year and can begin their work immediately. On average, it takes between 18 months and 2 years to call a new senior pastor in most Presbyterian churches. There was an 18-month gap between the pastorate of my distinguished predecessor, Dr. G. Dana Waters III, and me. Within 2023, you may identify and call your next senior pastor, or you may choose to bring an interim pastor in 2024 as the need may dictate. However, let me assure you, 2023 will certainly not be a year of marking time. Quite the opposite. it will be a year of marching forward. With the extremely strong staff in place and the incredibly gifted elders and deacons and leaders in this congregation, we will be moving ahead full throttle. Our new director of music and organist, Kenny Lewis, expressed what many of you say and feel about this place. Kenny said, "This congregation has been so incredibly welcoming. I was coasting in my faith, but now I've been brought to life again by you all. Together, we will run the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." A final thought. On the long 14-hour flights back from Beirut, I finally got around to watching the new movie Maverick, Top Gun, starring Tom. Have y'all seen it? Starring Tom Cruise, coming out 36 years after the first Top Gun. I share with you two memorable quotes from the movie that maybe in some ways are appropriate to today's occasion. Movie thriller spoiler here. In the final battle scene, when Maverick and Rooster are together in the borrowed enemy plane, they have already shot their way through a number of attacking enemy planes, but they run out of ammunition. The enemy is directly behind them and has them in the crosshairs. Their doom appears certain. When suddenly, out of the clouds, another plane, that of Hangman, appears and shoots the enemy plane out of existence. Hangman says over the radio, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your savior speaking. Please fasten your seatbelts and return your tray tables to their locked and upright positions and prepare for landing." Peter and us experience that from Jesus, our Savior, who reaches out and saves us through the waters of chaos, and we worship him as Lord. And then there's a scene where Rear Admiral Kane, who is attempting to end the Top Gun program altogether, which used the best test pilots in favor of unmanned new technology. And he says, "The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction." Think maybe some predictions of the church's demise. Maverick replies, "Maybe so, sir, but not today." Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Not today, not ever. Jesus is with us on the rough seas and in the boat. As Reverend Abraham told us in Aleppo, after his church was destroyed, "I will never leave Aleppo. I had a vision. The vision became a dream. The dream became reality." So sisters and brothers, exercise your faith. Jesus Christ is reaching out to you. Reach out to him with your touch. In faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. To the only wise God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.